We are live, we are local, we are digital, and we are on scene. It's the Traveling Road Show this morning for the B&E program. The show of the people is at Great Hills Country Club for the Golf Classic, the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter Golf Classic, benefiting the Center for Child Protection. They're honoring Quan Cosby this year as their Person of the Year. We talked to Quan yesterday, and again, congratulate him for being the honoree. He was very humble yesterday. I couldn't believe when they called me. I thought they were joking. I thought they were kidding with me. But Quan does a lot of great things for kids in this community. Adopted himself as a teenager back in the day, and understands how important it is to mentor and be around young people and give them opportunities. And that's what the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter is all about. We got to check with the Raul Allegre and the team here, but at last check, they raised more money in this chapter than any NFL alumni chapter around the country.
Every year.
Every year on an annual basis, which is incredible, figuring that this is not an NFL city. There's not an NFL team here, obviously. But a lot of former players, including a lot of the former Longhorns, live here. And they get together and they raise a lot of money for a great cause and for children in our area. And so we are thrilled to be a part of it again. It's been 2 years without it. We got rained out a couple years ago. Last year was COVID, and we're excited to be at the golf course. Always good to be at the golf course.
Yeah,
bright and early.
They do such a great job for the kids here. I mean, kids need an advocate, and, you know, Child Protective Services is really, really special, and it's been around for an awful long time. And people tend to think, well, somebody will take care of the kids. Well, no, they don't have anybody as their advocate. Some of them don't have parents. I mean, this group has done such a fantastic job over, I don't know, I've been here for 30 years. They've been around for 30 years. I know that.
Center for Child Protection is awesome, an awesome organization. There are so many in Central Texas and so many in need, but that is one that
absolutely
they are phenomenal to help. Our guest list includes hoping to talk to Britt Hager this morning, the lifetime Longhorn, the great linebacker. Also, Quan will be along. Derek Johnson's going to be playing in this event, the great Chiefs linebacker. Ed Too Tall Jones. Look who's on that list. Peter Gardere. Pete the Great. Are you kidding? Also, Fozzie Whitaker, Lamar Houston, and many more. Excited to be here with you this morning. And I got to give you a little tip on this. You know, as I said earlier, it reminds me of our Texas OU weekends when we're up there on Friday morning for the Get Teed Off at OU golf tournament, which is always a blast, and didn't have it last year. We'll have it back this year, I think. And I'm angling. I know you're always doing work. I'm doing work for us. I think we're going to – remember we used to take the RV up there?
Dallas. Is that coming back again?
I think I'm working on a tour bus. We may have a
Come on, man.
The Dallas Dash to Dallas tour bus for B&E.
I've been sober for going on. I'll be going on 21 years. I got to be careful there. You got to be careful. The traveling RV. Things can happen.
This thing, we're working it. We're trying to bring this thing home.
We've had hobos inside of our thing, sleeping inside RVs before.
Yeah. No, I mean it's part of it. You know, we haven't done the traveling RV in a while up to Dallas, but this will be a big one. The first matchup this year of Steve Sarkisian and Lincoln Riley.
Oh yes,
heck, OU could be number one in the country when that game happens in October. They're that loaded, and in preseason they're going to be highly ranked for sure. So we'll have some fun with that. But I'll keep you posted on that, Buck. I think we're working towards it. We're making some connections, making some happen, because you like to go rent a car and drive up 281 through
through
the back roads.
It take forever, 6 hours to get there.
I'm going to get us. Now, I don't think we're going to have Mike Pirtle driving.
No, maybe we could bring him back.
We could get Mike back driving the tour bus, but we're working on that right now. But today, first things first, it's the Golf Classic with the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter. Let's pay off your B&E fact of the day, and then we'll get to some headlines, get into our coach's corner here this morning. But I mentioned NBA playoffs are around the corner, the NBA regular season wrapping up this weekend. Last night, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he is the Greek freak. That's how we know him. First player since 1988 to score 40 points in a game, have 15 rebounds, 5 or more assists, but shoot over 75% from the floor. That's pretty good. Last time it happened, 1988, can you name the player that did that?
Karl Malone?
No, good guess, though. Charles Barkley. Barkley. Sir Charles in the house with our B&E fact of the day.
That's terrible.
That's a pretty good stat line, by the way.
It certainly is.
And our man Isaiah Collier says, watch the Bucks this year. They've been playoff failures the last couple of years as the one seed, but a little bit better roster this year.
Need to watch out for the Philadelphia 76ers. Ring the bell.
Ring
the Liberty bell.
You're getting on the train.
There. Get on the train now.
Get on the Sixers train. You know, it hadn't been a great regular season for the NBA. I think that's fair to say. TV ratings would indicate that. As we say, the lead story of the NBA this year has been the controversies and then the injuries.
Right.
And all their best players have been hurt. A lot of their best players have been hurt. And in Brooklyn and the Lakers and Jamal Murray and Denver. So those would be in your. But I think with the playoffs coming around, I think we'll get some good basketball coming, and we'll be able to zero. Because a story like the 76ers and people actually tuning in to Joel Embiid, who's been playing phenomenal this year.
And Ben Simmons playing together with him.
And look, I mean, I haven't watched a ton of NBA this year, but I know when the bubble was happening last summer, I was engaged and watching. And I think when the playoffs come, I mean, I'll be intrigued to see, can Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving get on the floor, and can they become the super team that they're supposed to be? I think that's kind of fun here as we get into next week and the play-in tournament, and then the playoffs beyond that.
Yeah, we haven't even said who we think will be the winner, who will be in the finals.
I have no clue. I mean that's typically you go in the NBA with Golden State on their run, and then
generally I find the Lakers where LeBron is. Where's LeBron?
Yeah, this year, who knows? I mean, you could make a great case for a lot, and there's so much question with the injuries to the star players. You're just not sure, but that's where we are now in the basketball side of things. Speaking of hoops, let's get to your headlines, trending topics. Lead story involves a now former Longhorn. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Texas freshman forward Greg Brown III announced yesterday via social media that he is indeed declaring for the NBA draft. He will sign with an agent, and his career at Texas is over. The former Vandergrift Viper played in 26 games as a Longhorn, started 24 of those, averaged 21 minutes a game, averaged almost 10 points and over 6 rebounds a game. He's the third player from the roster this past season to declare for the draft. He joins Matt Coleman and fellow forward Kai Jones. In the NBA, New York Knicks rallied to beat the Spurs last night at Madison Square Garden, 102-98. Knicks continue to chase that fourth seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Alec Burke led them with 30. Just two games to go now. They're a half game back of Atlanta. Spurs are locked into the 10 seed. They're going to be in the play-in tournament next week as we'll head into the final weekend of the regular season. All of the seeds and matchups will be decided. Most of them may go all the way to the last game on Sunday. Baseball last night, Major Leagues, Miles Straw scored on a wild pitch in the 11th to give the Houston Astros a 4-3 win over the Texas Rangers in the first matchup of the year between the Lone Star Rivals. It was a four-game series opening up down at Minute Maid Park. Pretty interesting game. Jose Altuve put out Houston up early with a 3-run double, cleared the bases. Rangers rallied to tie the game at 3. Willie Calhoun hit a homer in the third, and game then stayed tied for the next 7 innings as neither team could manage a big knock. Astros 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Rangers 0-for-11 on the night. Game 2 tonight. Also at the Dell Diamond, the Lone Star AAA affiliates all opened a series as well. Sugar Land Skeeters took game 1 of their series with the Round Rock Express 10-4. On a thirsty Thursday. Same two tonight for a Bud Light Fireworks Friday in golf. After a month off and about with COVID-19, Jordan Spieth back and atop the leaderboard after the first round of the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship in McKinney. Spieth shot a 9-under 63 yesterday at TPC Craig Ranch. He is tied with J.J. Spawn.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Did you really say we're going to take the Winnebago, as I called it back in the day?
No, this is a tour bus. This is like a big old Prevost bus.
Like the buses go down to casinos?
Yeah, but kind of like Willie Nelson's bus kind of looking thing. But it's not Willie's.
Okay, let's make sure
it's
that.
Not Willie Nelson's bus. No, it's I'll get you details because we're maybe partnering with this on with some new friends of ours, which we're excited about. Details to come. It might not be the only place you see that tour bus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you'll see it this summer, I would imagine. And then Texas OU, it's the perfect motor coach to the game.
It's
the
perfect
way to go. Because we go up there, we'll take it to the golf tournament, do the show right there from the
the bus?
Yeah, right off outside the bus, set up the tent. Then we'll take it down to the fair, park it right by the Texas tailgaters. Right beside Big Tex. And we'll just load it up, man.
I love it.
We sleep in that thing.
Bring it down to Bevo Boulevard.
Captain's chairs.
Oh.
All the things you need, my friend.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The luxury. We're going luxury. We're 20 years into this deal. We don't need to be messing around with,
I wouldn't. You know what? I'm very appreciative of the other Winnebagos that we destroyed along the way. But they weren't all that luxurious, going up there. Remember going up the steps and it opened up the doors and the door wouldn't lock, the door wouldn't shut. But it was fun. It was fun. I'm going to tell you, we had some great times there. We had some great stories coming out from the Baghdad Inn and some of the other places that
those
we stayed.
Well, those RVs were great when we would take them down to the West End in Dallas, park them in the parking lot, and people just, wander into the RV.
And sleep in them.
Drunk and asleep in the RV. Who is this random guy that's just
– ate my Doritos. A guy opened up my thing of Doritos.
Literally, we were doing the show from the Hofbrau Steakhouse there on the West End. Our annual trip up, doing our round table. We would always hit, then they would always offer us dinner after the show was over. So we wander out there about 9 o'clock and
nice steaks.
And there's a drunk guy in the RV,
in the front seat,
just sitting there eating your Doritos.
Yeah,
or passed out, but he had been eating the Doritos.
He had already opened them up and ate them. And we drug him out by his feet, and he came down those steps, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom.
Yeah, we had to drag him out.
And we left him in the back behind the RV.
It's good. It's good stuff. But that's months away. But we're excited. You know, you can't.
I'm excited about it, for sure.
Fired up about Texas-Oklahoma college football season is coming, and we're getting ready for it, as you are.
Yes, it's the Texas coaches right now. A lot of coaches right now will be taking vacations. I talked to Jay Spavital yesterday.
Nice.
And they were, he's at work and talking about the portal and things that they want to do, but they hit the road next week. You know, they get to talk to players. They get to be in front of players, actually see. It's like he said, it's like we haven't seen them. Like, this is the way it's been forever. He said, we actually get to go face-to-face with players again. We actually can almost work them out and do things with them, which, but for the Texas coaches, those guys are moving in. How about that? They're trying to get their families in, trying to find homes,
by the way. Battling the real estate market in Austin, Texas to find a house. And, they're Texas football coaches. They don't want just any house, right? They want
this is no vacation for them. These dudes are working.
Yeah. Well, it's our Coach's Corner brought to you by Audiovisual Consultation. Tom McKay and his team at avconsultations.com. I believe Tom is a member here at the Great Hills Country Club.
He may be, yes.
I believe so. I believe he's asked and invited us out to play some golf here at the Great Hills Country Club before. But, in Coach's Corner, it is going to be interesting. It's May the 14th now. The dead period will finally end.
Right.
I think coming up June 1st, right, is when this opens up. Obviously, we had the CDC yesterday, the mask mandate being eliminated for folks who are fully vaccinated. You don't have to wear the masks, and that's going to continue to grow.
Sure.
And so as things get more and more normal, but you're right. I mean, so many – last year was just such a obviously unreal, unique year for every industry, but certainly college football or college athletics and the ability to recruit players and get out and see them, get to know them. And you did this for years and years as a football coach. I mean, it's the number one job of building relationships, getting to know mama, getting to know the families, building trust. – I mean, all that was done virtually last year. All that was done with almost like a leap, leap of faith with players who joined teams. And that's why a lot of people think there's going to be a mass exodus into the transfer portal for players who signed in certain places having never stepped foot on the campus.
I know.
Last year. I mean, you think of the freshman class of 2020, they never even got to see the school in a lot of cases.
They just took the scholarship.
Yeah,
you better take that scholarship.
Yeah.
And now look what's happened with the portal, E. Those high school players – are really losing. Some of the high school players will lose out because of the portal. High school football, as good as it has been to the colleges in all the states, now people are going to look for kids that have played already, that have had a year or 2 years into programs.
Yeah.
And, and talking to Jake yesterday, he also said that Jake Spavital said, the coach at Texas State said, our conference has now gotten so good, Power Five is going to come and start taking players from us.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, that's right. You used to be the ones that if they didn't make it in the Power Five, they would come to you guys. He said, no, now the Sun Belt has gotten so good, they're going to start losing players that Power Five schools are going to take, that they want.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a new landscape for everyone. And obviously the ability to get back face-to-face with people is one thing. But, yes, how do you build your roster? How much of it is high school talent? How much of it is transfer talent?
Right.
If you can find experienced players that you can watch on film against other college players, you're going to take that over high school a lot of the times, if it's even. And, we've talked about this before in Coach's Corner, but, it bears repeating. Chris Klieman at Kansas State in the Big 12 has already said they're going to devote 25%, 30% of their roster to the portal.
For sure.
Bill Snyder built that program on the junior colleges, right, when he was building Kansas State from the moribund program it was to what it became under Bill Snyder. Well, now the new way will be just transfers. You build your roster that way. And, bring in the 14 or 15 high school students, kids every year.
Coaches are going to tell you how important high school is. But, guys, they're going to take – you're going to see a lot of players, not two or three. You're going to see 8, 10, 12 players that come out of the portal. And that does affect high school football. It does. Now, they'll tell you it's their lifeblood, and it will continue to be their lifeblood. But, dude, this portal has opened up just such a – I don't know if I'd call it a can of worms, but it's difficult. It's difficult. When you start losing scholarships, your high school players started losing scholarships. And that's one of the reasons, E, last year, that a lot of players in high school took those scholarships and went to places that they had never seen. You know, they may have four on their list, but they never got to any of them. So they start just picking and choosing. I'll go to this one. Did you really offer me a scholarship? Because I'll take it right now.
Yeah, the player is going to maybe have some regrets, but at the same time, there will be coaches that have regrets. Because they never got to meet the kid in person. They don't know him. And it's like, who is
What if he's not good in college?
Oh, we missed on this kid big time. So that's going to happen too. So, yeah, I mean, when you say, you know, new frontier, wild, wild west, with that and, you know, we're coming online this summer.
I know.
You know, the state of Texas is about to sign into law the name, image, and likeness rule, which, you know, that's going to be done. And then schools and conferences just have to deal with it. That players and that student athletes can make money.
We're going to pick up. I'm going to pick up my hard copy, obviously, of the Austin American Statesman. You'll hit your computer, but every day there's going to be somebody that's going to not be able to play this week because they didn't do this or they didn't do that. It's going to be crazy. Once you know, it's going to take a while. Just like everything else that changes. You know what I'm saying? They're not all going to get it correct, but someone's going to say, "You can't play in this game this week. You didn't fill out this paperwork for that." $12,000 that you made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
you know what I was thinking the other day, and I don't know, maybe somebody will set me straight on this. You know, as I read these name, image, and likeness rules, where players can sign deals on their own. They
can't use the school.
Can't use the school brand, can't use the name, but that you can use your name and create revenue. What's going to prevent, you know, we see this in basketball a lot with the shoe companies, what's going to prevent a Nike or an Adidas to come in and sign a kid? And make him an Adidas guy. Well, you know, it would be difficult because the schools already have their own shoe deals. But, you know, the apparel companies, why wouldn't they come in, especially the really good players, and offer them a deal so that when they come out and they head to the NFL that they're already in, you know, lined up with them?
I don't think anything is to stop them.
Right. That's then those can be very lucrative. Now, and it also will create problems. You know, it's different but similar to – remember when Jerry Jones fought the NFL – because he wanted to be able to sell his own advertising in his own stadium and do, you know, the NFL was Coke, but he wanted to be Pepsi. The NFL right. was this, and he wanted to be this. You know, do we get to a point where players say, you know what, I know we're a Nike school, but Adidas is offering me a ton of money. I want to wear their shoes.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I mean, could that happen?
No, I don't know why a group like the NCAA, who just loves basketball, but they have no real pull in football, would have jumped at an opportunity to say, let us do this. Give me your players. We'll do all this stuff so that they can, you know, you can let them go play. We'll take care of. Here's what they've been doing financially. We'll keep that on the books for you. They're going to just bargain their way right out of everything.
Well, because they've drugged their feet on this for years and years and years, decades even. But you're right. They could have
jumped in there and said, "We'll be the ones.
Yeah,
we'll be the entity that takes care of this."
Right, and take your cut. Take your commission of it. I mean, for handling all of this, and you know, we're gonna, you know, officiate.
But then they're gonna be obsolete. They won't. No, we don't need you.
Well, they could. I mean, the NCAA could have funded a lot of things and made a lot of money, being the person in control of all of this. Because instead, they just denied that.
Well, that's the
money
group that's
existed.
Well, that's the group that's not progressive. That's the group that's going backwards.
To me,
you know,
head in the sand. All right. So there's your coach's corner. We'll watch it as it comes. Texas. Coaches and the coaching staff will be able to hit the road. Jake Spavital down to Texas State as we get this thing rolling. We're live in Northwest Austin. The Arbor. I can look right up over that beautiful hilltop and see the Renaissance Hotel and the Arboretum just up the hill there. What a beautiful location this is.
You'll see the lights of Q2 soon from
the
lights
here. Of Q2.
Yeah, when they play night games.
Is that a U2 song?
Q2, U2.
Yeah. Q2 will be hopping in a couple of weeks. Or where are we? We're the 14th. We're about 5 weeks away.
And I think they play on the 19th.
Yeah, 5 weeks away from the first home game for the Austin FC, who will play tomorrow in L.A. against the Galaxy. All right, we'll take quick timeout. We'll come back. The guest lineup will begin as the golfers are beginning to show up. Just saw Raul Alegre, who is the president of the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter, former kicker at Texas, and does a great job with this organization. He's on hand, so we'll begin to have conversations. We'll have Hot or Not for the end of the hour as we get you rolling on a Friday. We are live, we are local, we are digital. We're always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday morning, B&E with you. Isaiah Collier spinning the hits back there, getting this in and out, driving the ship very, very well at our Horn headquarters on 360. We are at Great Hills Country Club in the Arboretum for the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter Golf Classic, benefiting the Center for Child Protection, and having a good time doing it. Beautiful morning. I'm going to go get my sunglasses now, Buck. We started in the dark, and now sun's in my eyes over to the east as we get this thing rolling. Talking a little Texas football and college recruiting in our last segment. We'll hit our hot or not topics before the top of the hour. Also, as you know, when these things go down, Buck, a guest can sit down at any moment, so you never know. You never know when we're going to talk to Ed Too Tall Jones or Derek Johnson's going to sit down, Lamar Houston or of that ilk, because as we said, it's not a shotgun start in this golf tournament today. They're staggering the tee times. So
well, NFL alumni players. We won't get Lamar. He's got a meeting or something.
Oh, so he's not coming?
No.
I had a list of people that are supposed to be rolling through here.
But there's a lot of things, of course, you know.
Cancel.
The guys canceled out and stuff. And
cancel culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
where
we are. And it's tough. You know, we're at a different place. And a number of guys late in the event, like a couple days before, decided they're not gonna come. So
come on, man.
We will have Ed Too Tall.
9 o'clock.
That's good. We got to have him.
A great football player, boxer, just a great athlete, and a great all-time cowboy, and a pretty dang good golfer too. By the way, Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yeah, and we have to talk to Raul about Child Protective Services and how well they've been doing, and what and how they got involved and when they got involved with this. And you're gonna play today. You're gonna play a little bit today, aren't you?
Yeah, I think they're. They're needing me. They need me.
They need you. That's right.
They need a C player. They need a C player on one of the teams.
Well, he said, why aren't you playing? He asked me, why aren't you playing today? I said, well, I'm running around doing stuff for June 11th, trying to get all that stuff straight.
For your own golf tournament.
Yeah, brother.
All right, so I was looking at this. Best the NFL schedule came out this week, so we're piecing through it and putting it together. Here's a list that we've got of the five best primetime games of the NFL season. First one, and you know, we told you earlier that the New England Patriots game hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers October 3rd.
Yeah, how about Tom Brady's dad?
Yeah.
Wow, how about that dude?
Already making a guarantee?
He jumped in there and said, we can't wait to come back to New England.
Yeah, we Team Brady.
How about
Brady.
That we, Team Brady?
Well, look, don't think for what, I mean, that's why that game is so dripping with fun. I mean, that's a primetime game. That's why tickets are already, I mean, for the worst seats in the house, they're getting $1,500 for one ticket already. It's the hardest ticket in sports right now, because you don't think for a second there's not a grudge that Tom Brady doesn't want to go back in there and beat Bill Belichick and break the all-time passing mark while doing it. And, you know, he loves the fans. He loves
– And have the fans give him a standing ovation while he beats up on their team.
He has a huge respect for Bill Belichick. You know that. But obviously the thing didn't end great. And, and the other way around. Like, Bill Belichick wants to – dial something up, and then you're predicting, or at least anticipating, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could have a perfect season. Well, don't you know Bill Belichick would like to ruin that bad boy?
Yeah, for sure.
With a defensive scheme and a gimmick or two, and what they do. Now, that game is just so good for so many reasons, and obviously 20 years of history between the organization and the player. They'll have all kinds of, you know, they're going to be pregame celebrations.
Please tell me that your top five in here, he does include the Cleveland Browns, please.
We'll see. Let's get the first one, though, because these go in chronological order of when they happen in the season. But number one on my list is the first one. Sunday Night Football, Week 2, Kansas City Chiefs at Baltimore Ravens. Because remember, the first Monday night game is Baltimore and the Raiders. And I also read that ticket is a hard ticket to get. People in Vegas, people that are traveling to Vegas want to be at that game to see the Ravens.
No one attended any games here.
None. That's the other thing. No one's been in that stadium as far as a packed house. That's going to be cool out at the new stadium in Oakland. The new black hole, as they call it. It looks like a Roomba. It kind of looks like a Roomba vacuum, but it's their new stadium. But I got Sunday night Chiefs-Ravens in Baltimore. That'll be a heck of a game. Those are, you know, Ravens, can they get over the hump this year? But we know in the regular season they're a juggernaut. They still have as good a roster as anybody in the league, and we know what the Chiefs are all about.
Right.
You know, rebuilt their offensive line. Patrick Mahomes, you know, they are still the favorites in the AFC.
Yeah, this year will truly be about Lamar Jackson if he can't get it done this year. The clock has been ticking on him, and if this is his year. It really is. They've got some weapons.
Well, I think it's that whole draft class. You know, we talked earlier about Sam Darnold. He's now in Carolina with a chance to prove what he's about. Baker Mayfield has a hell of a team in Cleveland. And then Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen in Buffalo, all these guys, know who's going to step on the gas this year. That's what makes the AFC so intriguing, because Mahomes has already been to the mountaintop, and he's the best quarterback in the league, right?
Right.
Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, you know, that's the next group. That's the next conversation, and which quarterback steps forward this year. Is it Lamar Jackson? He's got as good a roster as anybody. But my second game of my top five is that Buccaneers-Patriots game, week four. That's Sunday night. That's about everything you would want in a football game, as we just talked about. Number three on the list, Bills-Chiefs. Chiefs and the Bills. Another, here we go again, quarterback class matchup, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. What are the Bills this year, Buck? I mean, can they run the ball better?
Right.
We know they've tried to improve through the draft and free agency, their defense and their pass rush. They're very talented. They were right there on the doorstep a year ago. Is this a year where Buffalo takes that next step and becomes a real Super Bowl contender in the AFC?
Well, if they can run, like you said, if they can run the football, then it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Josh Allen, because you don't want to see him running as often as he's done over the last 2 years. That's too much. They need to find a runner. They need to get their run game going with that offensive line. And they can take a lot of pressure off their quarterback and let him play quarterback instead of being like their leading rusher also. You know, they need that very badly. I think they just have average running backs, and especially for the NFL. I think the two guys that they have right now are just average.
Yeah, they have to be better there.
Yes.
The offense is really built around Josh Allen and his talents, but he can't do everything.
No, he can't be a runner, too.
Well, and, you know, the one thing we know happens in the NFL is injuries. I mean, if Josh Allen were to get hurt, boy, would that team
– absolutely.
That team would collapse, because he does everything for them. excuse me. My fourth game, I had to go to the NFC. Got to get an NFC game in there.
Okay.
These are all AFC games. But I know Tampa Bay's NFC, but they're playing in New England, so that's technically an AFC game. Monday Night Football, Week 14, Los Angeles Rams, Arizona Cardinals.
Good game.
What do we think about Arizona this year? We know the Rams went and got Matt Stafford. We know there was a falling out between Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and that had to change. And to land Matt Stafford, you know, that was the first of the big quarterback moves of the offseason. I know you like Matt Stafford.
I do.
I mean, this is.
I think he's a warrior at the quarterback position. I think he plays hurt. I think he's smart. I just think he's been in Detroit. Sorry, the place where great players go to die.
Yeah, and then there's Arizona. I mean, with Cliff Kingsbury, obviously, I would argue a lot of pressure on Cliff this year to take that next step.
Yeah, more pressure on Cliff than it is on Kyler Murray himself. Kyler Murray, I believe, is going to get better. He's just got to stay healthy. You know, that hurt them last year. When he got hurt, they really, really struggled.
They didn't have a backup quarterback,
no.
And that's on Cliff. That's on the front office.
Right.
And now Colt McCoy is in Arizona. And if something happened to Kyler, Colt would get
the
call.
And you can win some games.
Win you a couple games. No, but I think, you know, Cliff came in and it was kind of a punchline. People were laughing because he got fired up into the NFL. You know, he was a mediocre coach at Texas Tech, but ends up, because of his offensive acumen, in the mm-hmm. NFL coaching the Cardinals. But the early results were pretty darn good. And last year, the step back, this is the year where there's going to be pressure on Cliff to take it to the next level. They think they've improved their defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they believe in their offense. They've got as good a receiver core as there is in the NFL right now. And
Kyler Murray has to stay healthy.
Yeah, Kyler's got to be healthy.
He can't limp around.
And the offensive line needs to be better than it was last year. I mean, when Cliff got there, that was the big problem, the offensive line. Was pretty wretched. All right, so, and the fifth on that list, by the way, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, week 17.
Oh,
Pittsburgh,
my goodness, Franco Harris is there now.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, week 17 could be for a lot.
I'm excited
in the
about
AFC.
That game for sure.
Because you know me, I'm all in on Cleveland this year, Browns.
I can now follow a team that I never followed before, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm now going to follow them because they got my guy at running back. I'm excited.
And we're excited to talk with this
the boss
gentleman.
Is
the boss is in the house. We're excited to have him. He is the president of the NFL Alumni Austin Chapter. He's our friend Raul Alegre, former great kicker at Texas and in the NFL. Hey, you have a Super Bowl ring, do you not, Raul?
I have two.
Two?
Yes.
You wear them prominently?
You can tell.
No,
you don't.
Not those big suckers.
It's very hard to play golf.
Yes.
I mean, it's very hard to shake somebody's hand with it.
Well, Bucky does.
Yeah, but it's not like that. His is like that.
Right.
This is a monster.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
A little stressed this morning. You know, golf tournaments are stressful. I know. I see Bucky on his day of his golf tournament. You're running around like a chicken.
Well, he didn't want to play. We made you an honorary NFL alumni.
How about that?
Today, you know, so.
Thank you.
No, this is a much different format because of COVID. We had to make decisions back in November. At the time, we didn't know how the pandemic was going to evolve. The vaccines had not been approved, so we had to make a call. We couldn't gather, so we don't have a breakfast. It's more like grab and go, as you saw earlier this morning. We don't have an awards luncheon. Normally, this tournament has a playoff, but because everybody has tee times as opposed to a shotgun start, it is very difficult to implement unless everybody comes back on a different day, which is another cost for the tournament, therefore for less money for the charity. So we decided to just have tee times, and it's a lot more difficult to do tee times because you have to be there on call in case that somebody for some reason doesn't show. You have to tell the team what to do, what the rules are. So I'm here until everybody goes on the course.
Long day for you.
Yeah, it is.
And a lot of preparation all the way back to November, no doubt about that. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're planning something like this that far in advance. Obviously, things are in a better place now. The mask mandate's been lifted, but you're still dealing with those things. And, Raul, let me ask you why this chapter raises more money than any other chapter in around the country.
Well, we didn't start so well back in 2002, actually. We were like $34,000 in debt, and we decided that we weren't any good at organizing events. So we instead looked for partners. And at the time, the CCP was called the Children's Advocacy Center. I knew some people on the board, so I contacted them. I knew that they had a golf tournament because I had played in it. And one of their board members is somebody that I knew fairly well. So I talked to him. He said, yeah, let's meet. So we started that relationship back in August of 2003 with Jerry Sizemore, who was the founder of this chapter. And from then on, we knew that was the formula that worked. I've recommended that to all the chapters. For some reason, they don't do it. They feel that, you know, they're good enough to put together an event, and they're not. But the people at the CCP do a wonderful job putting together events, not just this, but other events. And like that, we partner with the Downtown Lions Club for a clay shoot, with Marbridge for a Super Bowl raffle. And we've partnered with many others throughout the years to do a number of events. And that's the reason why. I mean, we provide the shield, which has a lot of value. And we try to get players, and that's the difficult part, as you know.
Yep.
Bucky, doing your own tournament when you have celebrities, people's schedules change.
Coming from all different places.
From different places, but the key is finding key partners like what we've done since 2003.
And the charity, they depend on you. They need you.
It is a mutual relationship.
Yes.
Because they are able to get partners like KB Home,
right.
like many others. But KB is our title sponsor because of the relationship. You know, we do have the Super Bowl of Golf, which is a great prize for this tournament. That's why we enforce handicaps, and we have a handicap system to keep teams that stack. You know, they're
the cheaters.
Not necessarily cheaters. Oh yeah, they do. They just cheat.
Pencil whippers.
Yeah,
I cannot say that.
You can't say the word cheat.
I can.
I play with cheaters all the time.
I cannot refer to my
your fellow
golfers.
NFL players. Are you kidding me? Those guys cheat.
Oh well, but those guys, you know, they're have 30 handicaps, and you can tell
by
the way they play.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, we don't want, you know, somebody to stack a team and just run away with the tournament. So we have a handicap system that is actually quite elaborate, and that way it is an even field.
By the way, if anybody's going to stack it, it's going to be that Quan Cosby dude, you know, your man
Cosby
of the year,
dude,
whatever. Yeah, that's the guy who'll stack a team.
Well, we've made provisions to avoid
Oh, good.
That.
Good. Make sure you do that.
Real quick, Raul Alegre is the president of this chapter. He puts on a great tournament. Tell folks about the Center for Child Protection and what they do that is so important to our community.
Well, the Center for Child Protection is the first step where children that had been victims of pretty much any type of abuse, and I'm not going to name it. You know what
I do.
What that is. That's where they go, and that's where they have their interviews. In the past, they had to interview with different law enforcement agencies, and now they just have a single interview. The new building that they have over in Southeast Austin is just fantastic. We're very happy to help provide a little bit of help for them to build that wonderful facility, but that facilitates the process. And then they serve as liaisons for the next step to find other groups like CAS or people that are going to counsel these children so that they can, you know, recover from the mental trauma or the physical trauma that they suffer, and then get back in the process of establishing a normal life. So it is a wonderful organization. Mike Torres, who's now the CEO, and I are the only ones that are remaining from the original golf tournament back in 2003. He was the treasurer, then he became the CFO, and now he is the chief executive officer. And that gives us some continuity, and it helps us spread the message that this is a group that it is a wonderful and much needed cause. And also we try to let the word out that this is just one of their events. You know, they have a play bingo event, they have a Dancing with the Stars event. Unfortunately, like everybody else, COVID hurt charities. You help a charity, you have your own goal first. You told me a few minutes ago that you had to cancel your tournament a year ago. We had to adjust hours where, you know, everybody played between May and August, and we found a winner. But
they had to play their own clubs. They were going to different places to play.
Yeah, well, no, just one course.
One course. Okay.
Yeah, that way we kept everything consistent and within the same system. But all charities were hurt by COVID. Donations.
Sure.
You know, people suffered. People lost their jobs. Donations came
down. They
weren't
the same, right?
And so it was a challenge for them, like it was for everybody else. But as you mentioned, Aaron, things are slowly getting back to normal. We've done a good job in Texas with the vaccine. I was part of the trial of one of the vaccines, and I was one of the guinea pigs. I took one for the team, actually two, but. And now that the vaccine was approved, more and more people are going out, and I encourage everybody to go out and get vaccinated so we can all get back to normal sooner, because we're not back to normal yet. Things are still
absolutely
difficult. So,
you know, Raul, there is when kids have an advocate like the Child Protective Service, it's incredible, because as you said, the system is really rough mm-hmm. on children. If they're by themselves, they sometimes get left alone. They've got to go through 5-6 different interviews. They're going to be asked the same questions over and over. But when you can have one spot that they go to and get it all done then, and they don't have to go through police. They don't have to go through detectives. They don't have to go through that. Somebody is there to be their advocate. That's special. That takes a lot of burden on a mental burden off of a kid.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, child abuse is still
even more so during COVID.
During COVID, when people were going crazy because they had to quarantine, things got worse. So it's been a very, very difficult time. But at least we're able. Our tournament, as you can tell, is different. You know, we don't have a shotgun start because we were told not to congregate back in November. We don't have an award ceremony, but we're making it up as we go. We're improvising, sending people out. And the sponsors and the players have been very gracious and understanding the challenges that we have. And sometimes, you know, a player has an emergency at the last minute, he won't show. And that's what I'm here to explain to them, what they need to do to compensate for that.
Raul Alegre, of course, a great kicker at Texas, 2 times a Super Bowl champion in the NFL, and the president of the Austin Alumni Austin group, the chapter of the Austin NFL alumni. Raul, thanks so much. Appreciate you having us out here, and we look forward to a great day and for more great days to come.
Thank you, buddy.
Absolutely, and thanks for helping us out. Like I said, I had a player cancel at 8:30 last night, and I texted Aaron, bring your clubs, we need you.
Yeah, here we are. Here we are. It's going to work out.
Got another C player.
Yeah, exactly. C or D. Thank you, Raul. Appreciate it. Raul Allegri. We'll come back. Isaiah Collier, our producer, leads us through the hot or not topics. More guests to come, including Ed Tuttle Jones and whoever else sits down at our chair in our broadcast location here at Great Hills Country Club. It's B&E on the Horn. Almost halfway home of our 4 hours here on this Friday morning, live at the Great Hills Country Club. That means it's time for Hot or Not. Isaiah Collier walks us through the stories we've missed halfway through, which is usually plenty of those, for sure. Zay, what's going on back there at the headquarters?
Not much, fellas. Just taking it easy, solo, dolo. Got the neck brace on deck. Y'all know how I do.
I mean, there's nobody back. It's just you, huh?
No, Snoop's in the building because we know how you like to give Snoop a hard time about him not working in your eyes.
Wait a minute. What time is it? It's just after it. Snoop is in the building?
He's in the building.
He's the hardest working guy we got. I know that.
Good. Great. What do you got, man?
All right, fellas. Teddy Bridgewater being a little petty on his way out of Carolina. Yeah, he threw Matt Rhule under the bus and offensive coordinator Joe Barry, and he went on the podcast and recently said those guys just got to do a little bit more or a little better practicing. One of the things that we didn't do much when I was there, we didn't practice 2 minute and we didn't practice red zone. Matt Rhule.
Wait a minute, that's not possible.
Yo, hey. Matt Rhule went on to say that he's very disappointed with what Teddy said, and he takes pride in his practices.
Well, yeah. Somebody's lying there. You either practice red zone and 2 minute drill, or you don't. So somebody's not telling the truth there.
Well, I mean, I think I read that story, and it was Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator. And what Bridgewater was saying is that we didn't practice it enough or a lot.
Okay.
It was brief, you know. I mean, all coaches practice situations, right? You want to be good at situations, 2 minute, red zone. Those are the two of the most important situations
in a
football
game. That's a couple times a week. That's not like once a
week. Well, I mean, clearly, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's not, you know, a bomb thrower typically. No. I think he was just talking about the team. And obviously for Teddy, it was a different experience with Joe Brady in Carolina than it was with Sean Payton in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, because I guarantee you they practice 2 minute
right.
in red zone. A lot.
So whether he was thrown under the bus or not, I mean, it might be something Matt Rhule needs to look at and say, you know, if Sean Payton's doing it this way and they've gotten those results in New Orleans,
right.
New Orleans, maybe we need to borrow some of that. But remember, Joe Brady was in New England or in New Orleans
that's
with Sean Payton, so it's not like he's foreign to how they operate with the Saints. But, yeah, I mean, I think you were on coaching staff, Buck. You have to cross-check and evaluate how you're doing things on a year-by-year basis and make sure you're because you only have so much time. I mean, time is important to practice. How are you devoting your time? What did we not do well last year? How can we do it better? I think Bridgewater just pointed out it was different in Carolina than what he was used to in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, it's very important to be doing 2 minute drill, period. You know what I'm saying?
And red zone.
And
more
red
than
zone.
That. I mean,
yeah.
Red zones where games are won or lost.
That's right.
I mean, I think it's the most.
He's just saying that they didn't do it enough for his liking. That's probably
or as much as he had been used to.
Right.
Which
with Sean Payton, I'm pretty sure they did a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's. Again, red zone, I think, is it's way up there on the list of situations that you have to be. The teams who are proficient in the red zone typically win a lot.
Goal line offense.
Yeah, and that's on both ends, right? Your offense and your defense need to be practicing red zone situations because it decides football games. If you force field goals, you win. You give up touchdowns, you typically lose.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll come back. We roll on talking football here. Just saw Britt Hager roll by. Hope we can grab him at some point. We've got Ed Tuttle Jones coming up. We've got more Lifetime Longhorns live here at Great Hills Country Club. Beautiful Friday morning in Austin, Texas. We're thrilled to be out live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.